What's up, everybody? And I want to welcome you to the Straight Talk with Hope podcast. I'm your host for the show, Hope Lamberson. And hey, if you're new here and you started following us, or maybe it's your very first time listening to the podcast today, hey, I'm so glad that you're here and tuning in and listening. Maybe you found it through a random Google search on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or a friend and family member shared it with you, telling you about it. Or maybe you just saw it on one of their social medias. I don't know, but super glad you're here. And we have some exciting things to share with you. I was actually looking at this, and I believe the last podcast episode we did was in August. And I was like, man, I thought I was on a roll, honestly, trying to get out one a month. That was my goal. But August was kind of right when school was starting back for us, towards the end of August, beginning of September. And then it was all things school and sports. And I'm a mom of three boys, and they're all different age groups. And so I have been so busy, but nonetheless, super glad to be back on the podcast today. I've got a topic that I want to share with you later in the show, that everybody deals with this. Everybody struggles with this. Some people are looking for it. Some people have it or think they have it based on circumstances. And so I'm excited to share what that is with you a little bit later on. And right now, I kind of like to give everybody like updates of what's going on in my world as the podcast host. And like I said, my name is Hope Lamberson. I'm a mom of three boys. I just celebrated earlier this year 20 years of marriage, y'all. 20 years of marriage. We've been doing this thing. And so definitely have learned a lot along the way. And God has been good. He's been faithful. And we have seen his hand upon us and our boys and what we're doing here all the way in Oregon. So we are in Oregon. You're like, where does that accent come from? Now you know, I'm not born and raised here. I'm from the South. Love the South, but also love the PNW. I love the PNW just for the simple fact that's where God wants me to be and where God has called us as a family unit. And so just excited to be in this season living in the PNW, which we've been here for a little over a year and a half. I can't even believe that. It's flown by in some ways, and some ways and days it's gone a little slower. But right now we are in the month of November, and it is freezing here. It is so cold. We finally started to come out of the fall where all the leaves are beginning to fall, but you can definitely tell we're approaching winter because temps are like 30 degrees here. Even some part of Oregon said they were having snow today. You get hit with these random snowfalls 3 to 4 times a year out here, and that is just an experience in itself. But we are getting ready for Thanksgiving out here in a matter of, I think it's like a week or 2 weeks, maybe, I think 2 weeks, or maybe it's, yeah, 2 weeks, because my kids actually have off Friday here, which is tomorrow, and then they're gonna have a week of school, and then it's Thanksgiving break. Or they don't actually call it Thanksgiving out here, they call it fall break. So we're gonna be kicking that off, gonna have some of my family come in town and stay with us over the fall break holiday. So super excited they can see all things Oregon and what we're doing here and our new life and all that kind of stuff. So glad for that. Just finished a season of football and soccer. Older two were in football, so tackle football. Our older son, he was in the undefeated team. They had not lost a game in almost 2 years, and sadly, their playoff game, they did lose. And then that has come to a season of ending. And then our youngest just came out of soccer, which was great. It was his second season of doing that. He's awesome at it. And now, literally, in the next week, our younger two are starting basketball, and one of them's doing rec, and the middle one has made the select traveling team. So I've never done select traveling team. Like, that is a whole thing in itself. A lot of practices, which we're kind of used to a lot of practices here in the PNW because my kids were doing 4 practices a week, 2.5 hour practices. So that was a lot on top of doing their school. But now we're stepping into a select season of basketball. And they're going to have like 2 games on Saturdays and 2 games on Sundays. So not sure how that is all going to work, but I know it's going to work. It was super important for our middle son to make that team. He gave his all this summer, never playing basketball before, and really worked at it. I'm talking 5-6 hours a day that boy was out there playing basketball. And then out of like, I want to say it was between 40 and 60 players tried out for his grade, he made the top 10, which I'm so proud of him. But now I've got to figure out how this is all going to work with what we're doing with our church here on Sundays and all that. So, and they travel out of town. So y'all can keep me in your prayers with that. But anyway, so that's kind of where we are with schools and sports and 20 years of marriage and all these different things, approaching holiday seasons, coming to the close of a new year, and casting vision for what we want a 2024 year to look like. Because I don't know about y'all, but I want it to look better and I want it to look different than how 2023 went and has gone. Hasn't been, you know, bad or anything like that, but as life in general, things come up that you've got to tweak and fix and refine and better yourself, better experiences, and continue to cast vision for yourself, your life, your family, and all those things. Which actually will lead me to our topic that we are talking about today. So we're going to take a quick break and then jump back into this thing. I'll see you in just a second. We are talking about a subject, as I mentioned kind of in our opener. It's a subject that a lot of people know about, have heard about, are familiar with. Maybe they're not living in a season where they're experiencing this topic. Maybe they've experienced this topic, you know, when circumstances feel like things are good, are moving, are vibrant, are working in their favor, whatever you want to say. But today I want to talk to you, and I've hashtagged today's episode, hashtag eternal joy. You know, when I think of the subject of joy, I have fallen into this category, probably like many of you listeners, where you're like, yeah, things are going good. I'm a genuine, joyful, happy person. You know, my marriage is good. My finances are good. My kids are good. People are healthy. Overall, life is good. You know, we're excited. We're happy. We're content. And it breeds a lot of joyful when it seems like those things are moving in the right direction. And I want to express to everybody listening that there is a such thing as joy and there is a such thing as happiness. And they, in my opinion, are different. There is what's called temporary happiness. It's things that make us happy in life, even things that we enjoy or like to do or be a part of or have in our life and even in our possession. But the problem is all of those things are temporary. They're temporary. So they bring temporary happiness. But the subject of joy is joy in the Bible talks about it's not temporary, but it can be a lasting joy. It can be an eternal joy. It lasts for all eternity. It never ends. It never goes away. And I don't know about you, but when I look at my life and all the ups and downs and seasons of change and heartache, embarrassment, you know, at my best days, at my worst days, whatever that is, I have found myself where I had more joy in other seasons than I did in one season, but a lot of it wasn't an eternal joy, a lasting joy. It was more of a temporary happiness, what I thought was joy, but truly wasn't because it was temporary. It changed. People change. Situations change. Locations can change. all those things. But what I found was in doing this subject of studying the word joy, that the word joy is mentioned in God's word over 350 times. And also what I found about joy is that in order to have a life of eternal joy, we have to make sure our focus is on a daily basis going in the right direction, which focus just means it's a point of concentration. It's having your directed attention to. The Bible says about joy, it says these scriptures that if you are a Christ follower or have been following Jesus on your journey for a long time, you're probably going to recognize some of these scriptures. But one of them is this: the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy comes in the morning. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Romans 15, 13 says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in James 1, 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, that whenever you face trials, and we've all faced some trials, and even it says, it goes on to say, of many kinds. So James says here, we're going to have some trials, but we're going to have some trials of many kinds. Maybe you're in a trial right now in your finances, or a trial right now with parenting your kids, or a trial right now in your family. It says, nonetheless, you're going to face them and have them, and maybe even have a few of them, but to still consider it pure joy. The true source of joy comes from Jesus. Your true source of an eternal joy, a lasting joy, is going to always be found in Jesus. It's not going to be found in people. Even people that you really like, even people that you love and hold dear and near to your heart who are family or like your family, true joy and the true source of an eternal joy is always going to come from Jesus. It's always going to come from Jesus and not a certain event or a destination. True joy is not found in a destination. True joy is actually found in a decision. It's a decision to have an eternal joy. It's a decision, and it's your decision. Joy wasn't in the event of Christ dying for our sins, right? What kept him joyful in the moment of him dying for our sins was his trust in God. It goes back to Romans 15, 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace because you're trusting in him. And Jesus wasn't excited about, you know, probably getting up there and going on, dying on the cross and being persecuted and shamed and spat upon and all these things. But what kept him joyful in the event of his life that he was facing was his trust in God and knowing that his purpose the entire time was you. It says that the joy was set before him why he endured the cross, why he went through this trial. You were always on his mind. And so when I read things like that and I study things like that in the Word of God, I'm reminded about where Jesus's focus was, where Jesus had his point of concentration, how he went about directing his attention so that he could have eternal joy. You know, the joy that was set before him in Hebrews 12, 2, it even says this, it says in the ESV translation, it says, looking unto Jesus. So he was looking to Jesus. He wasn't looking at people. He wasn't looking at the situation, but he chose to look to Jesus and fix his eyes on Jesus. So that's where his focus is. It says, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, for who the joy was set before him, he was able to endure the cross, despising the shame, and was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's a couple things when I am expressing eternal joy and looking at eternal joy in my own life and how it differentiates between a temporary happiness or an eternal joy. I want us to ask ourselves these questions, but also ask ourselves, where are we in this category experience in eternal lasting joy? Because it's there and it's out there, but it's our choice. The first thing I want us to talk about is this, is you're going to have some disappointments. You're a Christ follower. Maybe you're not a Christ follower and you're listening to this, but life is full of tests and trials and heartaches and disappointments. We've got to take our disappointments and begin to turn it into our devotion. And a way that I can begin to do that is by changing my perspective. It's by redirecting my attention. So currently when I wrote out this podcast and actually did this message in our church, currently at the time I was doing OTF, which for fitness people, and I'm really not a fitness person, but I've definitely dedicated and spent 3 years in doing this fitness routine for my own health, but didn't see personally great results like I wanted to, because you go and do the workouts, but you really weren't sticking consistently with a good, healthy eating plan. So what I'm saying is I used to do Orange Theory Fitness, which I love. I still love, but currently at the moment, I've taken a break from it just because I was having some different things that were going on from running so much in my leg and in my back and all that kind of stuff. So I really didn't need to continue doing that right now. So I've kind of switched that up. But one thing I noticed while I did OTF, which was 3 years, I did it for 3 years, was that I had to constantly change my perspective about it and redirect my attention towards it. You know, most people don't get pumped up, excited about having to take a health journey or go and work out 4 to 5 times a week and look forward to doing it every single day. That's just most people. And so over time, I had to change my perspective about it and redirect my attention to focusing on the more positive things. You know, maybe your perspective about others or situations, or maybe even about God, even about yourself or your job or your kids, is not the best perspective in life right now. We have to make decisions and ask ourselves, am I more focused on the problems of life and the things that I don't like, that are going wrong, or I'm unhappy with? Are we focusing more on what's not working versus on what is working, which leads to the promise of God out of a heart of thankfulness and out of a heart of devotion, rather than focusing on the disappointments? You know, David was a key person in the Bible who, I love Bible characters like David. He's actually one of my favorite because he was real with God. Like, you know, maybe you met some fake people, some fake Christians, and they're just fake, right? They're not going to admit when they're wrong or the things that they're struggling with or going through. They try to act like they have it all together no matter what. And, you know, it just seems like I'm not even going to get into it. But David was real with God. He expressed his anger, his resentment. He expressed his sins and shortcomings. He even expressed how much he dearly, truly loved and devoted and worshiped God. In Psalms 35, it says that weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And David was one of these people. He went through a lot of disappointments. He had a lot of excuses that he could have made why he didn't want to continue in knowing God, loving God, giving devotion to God. But he changed his perspective. He redirected his attention where he was so much known as a man after God's own heart. He began to think like God thought, and his heart was beginning to form in how God's heart was. Like, he's starting to see how God loves him regardless of the disappointments and his failures and setbacks. And then we noticed this, that I actually looked this word up, and it's a Greek word, and I'm definitely no Greek or Hebrew scholar. I'm doing good just to look up other translations in the Bibles, let alone Greek and Hebrew. It's just not my jam. But I did find that the original Greek word, when it is reading that scripture as looking unto Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, when it's saying that Jesus was on the cross, but he was looking unto Jesus, he fixed his attention to the Father. The phrase looking unto Jesus in the Greek word means aphoreo, which means to turn the eyes away from other things and begin to fix them on something else. So I want to encourage you to do this. Whatever disappointments or things aren't moving right or going right, rather than focusing on the disappointments, I'm not saying ignore them, but I am saying rather than talking about them or focusing on those a little bit more, start to look unto Jesus. Start to turn your eyes away from the problem and turn your eyes on fixing things towards your devotion of giving it up, lifting it up to God in prayer and giving thanks for the good that is in your life, what he's doing. Because when we do that, it will begin to create a heart of an eternal, lasting joy. The second thing is this, is remove distractions. Lord knows we all got some distractions. You know, if the devil can't get you distracted, he'll keep you busy. And really, I believe that busyness is a form of distraction. And so we've got to remove our distractions. And the way that we do this is, again, it goes back to fixing your focus. Maybe you have kids like I do, and I totally have done this and said this. You get asked my kids where their face says it all. And like when we're in a group of people or even around like Christian people too, I'm like, fix your face, fix your face. And sometimes I have to do that myself. You know, placing Jesus at the center of our thoughts, actions, and decisions is going to help us remove distractions. The enemy is good at distractions, but if we can continue what we start, then we've got to be able to finish. It's like that scripture says that when Jesus calls you and he appoints you to do something, like, he's not just going to leave you hanging and say, good luck, figure it out, you're on your own. I mean, he is going to require you to man up a little, woman up a little, and, you know, take responsibility and figure things out. He's not going to just hand it to your lap and give you everything all at once. Like, he wants to see that you're willing to try, but what he starts in you, he is going to finish, even if you find yourself getting discouraged or distracted. But what he starts, he wants to finish it. He wants to see that your purpose is carried out to completion. But the way I do that is through my devotion to God. It's staying connected with Jesus. It's simply a regular time of prayer and worship, whatever that looks like for you, and staying in the presence of God. You know, at OTF, a lot of times there are distractions in there. Like, I'm a pretty competitive person. I would probably say everyone in our home is, honestly. And it's not really a great thing when we all have these like passionate, driven, explosive, you know, mouths and passionate about life and things we're doing and all these things, because everybody wants to talk at the same time. But at OTF, there are times where you get distracted, and I could get distracted while I was there because I wanted to outdo the person next to me. Like, I wanted to run harder, longer, faster, lift heavier weights, you know, whatever it was, and all those things. And I would find myself sometime getting distracted rather than continue to fix my focus. And one of the things that helped me keep my focus in this particular gym and organization was the writings that were on the wall. The writings that were on the wall were encouraging. They were uplifting. They made me want to, you know, push harder, give everything that I had. I would find myself when I was struggling in the gym or, you know, not wanting to continue to run or whatever, I would start to continue to fix my eyes on these writings that were on the wall that would encourage me so that I could finish what I had started, so I could continue. The third thing is this, is you're going to have to be, and I'm going to have to be motivated to endure. You know, just as that scripture said in Hebrews 12:2, the joy was set before Jesus. You were his joy. I was his joy, but he had to endure some things. You're going to have to be motivating yourself that when tests and trials and tribulation and hard disappointments come, to endure, to go through, to persist, to persevere. Jesus went through some pain in his life in order to obtain his purpose. There were challenges and trials, but, you know, either we can say this is a challenge and a trial and woe is me and how am I going to get it? I'm never going to, you know, do what I need to do or called to do what I'm doing or whatever it is. And we can find ourselves complaining, or we can look at the challenge and the trial and the test as an opportunity for growth. You know, it's an opportunity for us to tweak some things in ourselves or change our mindset, and how we used to do things is not how we're going to necessarily be able to accomplish what is set out in front of us in the future. We're going to have these opportunities of growth when challenges and trials come. Jesus' words have to ring more true in our ears than the doubts and the lies of the world and the doubts and the lies of what the enemy tells us personally. And, you know, a lot of people can talk a lot of, you know what, out there about you, about God, about your calling or your past or whatever it may be, and all these things. And what Jesus says about you and how he is calling you as a woman, as a man, as a friend, a father, a pastor, or, you know, an entrepreneur or whatever it may be, Jesus, how Jesus sees you and what he says over you has to ring louder in your ears and in your thoughts rather than entertaining doubts and lies of the world. You know, Jesus sacrificed his own personal comfort because us knowing him as our Father, being in a relationship with Jesus, he forgives us of all of our sins and shames. It gave him eternal joy, but it also gave us eternal life. The sacrifice that Jesus made for us to be in a relationship with him and to know him and love him and serve him and devote ourselves to him at whatever capacity that looks like in all of our lives wasn't just so he could just, you know, have us, you know, just know him while we're on earth, but it proceeds beyond us living on earth. It proceeds with us having eternal life, knowing where we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ when we've accepted him as our Lord and as our Savior. And that's what brought him a lasting eternal joy, was knowing that as he was enduring, as he was continuing to fix his focus, as he began to devote himself in the midst of temptation and distractions and persecutions and all these tests and challenges that he went through while he was a man on earth, it gave him that eternal joy because it gave us eternal life and having and knowing this relationship with Jesus. And you're going to have to coach yourself sometimes. You're going to have to be your biggest cheerleader sometimes in your life. Maybe you feel like no one sees you or cares about you or knows you're there or, you know, overlooks you or has forgotten you or whatever it may be. And can I just say, like, you can be in your pity party for a little bit, but don't stay there. Get up out of that mess and start getting in God's word about who he says you are, what you're called to do with your life, and begin to read scriptures and speak out of your own mouth, faith scriptures about who Jesus says you are and how Jesus sees you. And a great joy, an eternal joy, will begin to rise up in your heart and in your life and in your mind because it's no longer based on happiness. You know, a lot of times people go through their life and they're wasting time and they're wasting life because they're just trying to make everybody else happy but themselves. Friend, the way that you're going to experience an eternal joy is do what God is asking you to do. And not everybody's going to agree with it or like it or be in favor of it, or they may think you're crazy. What are you doing? But you and I will give an account to Jesus, not to these people who are on earth. We will stand before Jesus and we will give an account to Jesus. So enjoy your relationship with God. Enjoy, you know, doing whatever it is. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. And we've got one shot at this while we're on earth to do and live out what God is asking us to do. Be done with this temporary happiness based on events or people, or if somebody gives me this, I'll give them that. You scratch my back, I'll scratch my back. I mean, I'm all for people doing good and having favor and things like that. I believe in the favor of God. I believe in God's favor with both man and people in leadership and influence. But happiness is temporary. Don't live your life based on events or what people can do for you or what they've done for you in your past. But live your life on finding God as your source and relying on him as your true eternal joy. Because the more you begin to enjoy God's word, you'll begin to enjoy your relationship with God more and more, which will breed an abundance of an eternal joy that you can have on earth and in heaven. I hope this podcast has helped you. You know, maybe you said, I'm listening to all this, like, I want to know God. I want to know his will and his plan for my life. And maybe you've been listening and you've turned your back on God. Maybe you knew God at once, but you don't know him now. Or maybe you've fallen off and you're like, how could ever God choose me or love me or help me? Or maybe you're just like, I don't even know who God is. I hear who you're saying that he died on the cross for me and this joy was set before him and I brought him so much joy. But, you know, I base my life on temporary happiness and I want an eternal joy. Friend, you can have joy, an eternal joy in your life right now. If you're listening to this and you say, I want to know that I know that as Jesus had eternal joy in doing what he did for me on the cross and forgiving me and loving me then, but also now, I want to have an eternal life with an eternal joy with him right now. I'm just going to ask you to say this prayer right after me. Father God, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, my shame, my regret. I thank you, Lord, that you love me, you've chosen me, you've called and appointed me. I thank you that I can come into a relationship with you at any point in time, and you're there with me every single step of the way. Help me to know you, to serve you, to surrender everything of my own will and give it over to start living your will for my life. I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Change me, help me, make me new. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We'll see you back here on another episode, hopefully before the end of the year, with Straight Talk with Hope. Have a great day. Peace out, everybody.